Welcome to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. It was an unusual concept to have three different stories, each one with a different heroine, and each of those three heroines played by the same person, and then a villain played by the same person for each of the stories. Also, there's also a robot, a statue that comes to life, there's some magic glasses, and so much more. And the name of the piece is The Tales of Hoffmann. It's an opera by Jacques Offenbach, his last, in fact. And the Madison Opera is going to be performing it Friday, April 15th at 8 o'clock and Sunday the 17th at 2:30 at Overture Hall at the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. And it's all glued together, you might say, by the character of Hoffmann, and we have him here. He goes, in this instance, by the name of Harold Mears. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tough role.
It's a lot. You know, when you're the title character, you tend to be on stage a lot, and you tend to be the sort of the glue that holds the whole story together because it's your story.
So. Yeah, but you love it, right?
Yes, yeah, of course.
Craving attention and all that, being in showbiz. But in terms of the singing part, is it particularly difficult, or is it just the duration?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, some of the music is quite difficult to sing, and it's a little bit like a marathon as opposed to a sprint. Some roles that you do have very difficult sections in it, and it feels more like a sprint. This one feels a little bit more like a marathon. So it's a little different sort of pacing that you have to bring to your craft for this one.
And what exactly do you do? As Hoffmann, you are, as we've said, kind of the glue that puts these three stories together.
Right.
What else is your role in this thing?
Well, the whole story Hoffmann is based on a real person,
sure.
E.T.A. Hoffmann.
Yeah, writer, composer.
But obviously, it's a fictional story. It's not autobiographical, really, in any way, other than it's inspired by his life. And it's an interesting thing because they take three of Hoffmann's short stories that are sort of unrelated and make them sort of threaded together and fused together to tell a different story. And the whole thing starts not unlike an experience that many of us have had with him telling stories in a bar, and that's kind of how it starts. And at its core, it's a love story between Hoffmann and Stella, his mistress, who is a sort of a budding famous opera singer.
Oh, okay. So it's in-house that way.
Yes. And they're obviously having their relationship is having trouble. They've had a big fight, and Hoffmann is upset about it. And he uses these three stories to each one to describe a different aspect or characteristic of not only their relationship, but of her and Hoffman's fears are on full display, and each one is manifested a little bit different in each act. Whether it's, you know, the fear of loss of death, or the fear of inadequacy, you know, not being enough for her.
These endless, timeless themes.
Yes, or the fear of even just rejection. His insecurities are sort of on full display. And it's interesting too because we take the characters that we have in quote the real story in the first scene, and then they reappear as other people in his story. So his antagonist, the other suitor for Stella, his lover, appears as the villains in the three stories.
Oh, that must be fun.
Yeah. So and we have the one person doing all three of those. Actually, I guess it would be four characters because he's the three villains and he's Lingdorf in the beginning, which really adds a seamless quality to it. And we also have the character of Stella, who manifests herself as the heroines of the story, which you mentioned earlier, of Olympia, Antonia, and Giulietta, are all played by the same person. So it really does connect that this is a he's telling these fantastic stories to parody his relationship with Stella.
And what's happening here?
In the first scene in this Kleinsack, Hoffman is telling a story, one of his stories, singing a song about a dwarf, this little dwarf character named Kleinsack from the court of Eisenach.
Kleinsack.
Yeah. And so it's a very fun story, and he's describing his characteristics and his quirks, but he's also doing it to parody and kind of poke fun at his nemesis Lindorf, who's also in the bar. And so he's telling a story about Kleinsack, but also kind of poking fun at Lindorf.
From the Tales of Hoffman by Jacques Offenbach, one of France's great opera composers and one of France's great operas, that was Francisco Araiza as Hoffman in a performance with the Staatskapelle Dresden, Jeffrey Tate conducting, but Madison Opera is performing it on April 15th and 17th at the Overture Center in Madison, and the lead in the opera is Harold Mears as Hoffman. There's a famous, probably the most famous part of the opera, this happens time and time again, is actually an instrumental piece.
Right, yeah, it tends to happen that way sometimes.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
The one in Tales of Hoffman is the barcarolle. What's the context for that?
Well, the barcarolle starts at the beginning of the Giulietta story, and it really is a beautiful piece of music. It is probably the most well-known piece of music from the opera. You hear it a lot, you know, commercials or whatever. But in this, it's not really going on. It's just really setting the mood for the act, and it's sung beautifully by two characters, the character of Niklaus, or the muse, and Giulietta herself, who's a courtesan. And it's really setting up the fact that they are in, you know, what would be like Giulietta's parlor or something, having a very sensuous party.
So, another,
yeah, I'm
operatic,
trying to be diplomatic
staple.
About how to say that. But so it's really setting up an evening of love and frivolity is really what's going on.
The barcarolle. Famous barcarolle from the Tales of Hoffman, often heard as an instrumental piece, but of course can be quite gorgeous when you have the singers part of that barcarolle. There will be, of course, the opera will be in French.
Yes.
This performance by the Madison Opera. And there will be, however, supertitles in English. That's right.
Yeah, of course, yeah. That makes it easier for, you know, everybody to come and enjoy it, whether they speak French or not. You know, you're very much drawn into the action that way.
Sure. Of course, it would probably help to have some idea of the plot before you go in as an audience member, so you wouldn't have to follow those super titles too slavishly.
Right. That's true. And, you know, one of the neat things that Madison Opera does is that they have the pre-show lecture.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I think it's an hour before the curtain, something like that. And I would suggest, you know, if you're interested, you should check that out because it gives you more depth and understanding of the story. There's a lot going on in this opera, and you'll get more out of it and appreciate it more too, the more you understand it. And it'll be really interesting talk, I'm sure. I would suggest people check that out.
Yeah, anything about Offenbach is going to be colorful.
Yes.
And very French.
For sure.
We have a trio here, too, of course, which is another great operatic device. And
yes,
this one has does have something going on in terms of the plot.
Yeah, this one, I think if this is the one I think it is, it's the one with Antonia. Antonia, the voice of her mother, and Dr. Miracle.
The voice of her mother.
Yes. Her mother appears, at least in this production, as a statue.
Ah, yes, the statue
and
comes
and
to life.
One of the things about this opera is it's, and Hoffman's story, real Hoffman's stories, is they're laced with sort of the supernatural. And we have this creepy character of Dr. Miracle, who has all these flasks and these mysterious potions and things that he's feeding Antonia, who is sick. And she's a young singer, again, which mirrors the character of Stella from the beginning. And he's enticing her to sing. And her mother was a famous opera singer who died of a particular affliction, which she also has, and singing aggravates it. And so Dr. Miracle, I guess, knows in a sense that if she sings, she will die.
Oh, my goodness. How artistic.
Yeah. And so he's enticing her to sing, and then the voice of her mother comes in and encourages her to sing. And then Dr. Miracle, so we have this big, it's quite a trio. It's a very exciting trio from the end of the Antonia act.
Three voices there in one of the opera's great moments, a dramatic trio, Samuel Ramey, Jesse Norman, and Felicity Palmer in that particular performance. You can hear it on the weekend of April 15th and 17th with the Madison Opera performing. And as long as you're, before you take off, Harold Mears,
sure,
playing the part of Hoffman in this opera. I mentioned the robot. So where does the robot figure into this?
Well, it's the character of Olympia, and sometimes we refer to her as a doll. She sings this famous thing that we refer to as the doll aria. And she's an automaton or a robot or a doll, any word you want to put that. It's taken from actually one of Hoffman's real stories called The Sandman. It's a very creepy, very creepy story. But basically, Hoffman it's a young Hoffman, and he becomes infatuated with this beautiful young girl who he doesn't realize, of course, is not real.
Mm-hmm.
And this other creepy character, Coppelius, sells him these magic glasses. And the magic glasses make her seem normal, make her seem fantastic, and sort of normalizes her to him, and he falls in love with her, only to find out at the end, of course, that when her legs and arms get thrown around the room, that she indeed was not a real girl.
Yeah, same premise behind, of course, the same story behind Coppelia, the ballet by Léon Delibes,
right?
Those mechanical women.
Yes.
Well, thanks for stopping by and illuminating some of this fascinating and very tuneful opera.
Well, it's my pleasure. I hope everybody comes out to check out The Tales of Hoffman.
And The Hoffman as sung by Harold Mears.